pictures with a cell phone and then send it to China, you know, and we, you know, so, but there's still, you know, but ham radio is special. You know, it isn't a part of some infrastructure, and it's something that's in your backyard, you know, that you support, and it isn't something that requires an infrastructure. And when I say infrastructure, I mean it doesn't require somebody else's network, you know.
One of the things I think that a lot of hams forget, and ham radio can be, I guess, like any hobby, it can be very expensive or it can be very inexpensive. We were out there talking, and I recently took an 897D. I guess I'll plug the radios. I took an 897D Yaesu on a trip out west and took one of our prototypes of a backpacker. It's the 2010 without the electronic controller. It's a manual band switch. And just had a blast, and of course I used 897s, but it was it's just an outstanding rig. It's not very expensive, probably, I don't know, $800-$900 radio. And sitting two rooms over from me here, Ted, is a new ICOM 7700. Great rig. I mean, all kind of filters and all kind of features. But I hate to tell this, but I had just as much fun on the 897D set up out in Yellowstone Park as I do sitting at the 7700. I have to be careful because everybody's going to say, why'd you spend all the money? But really, you can have a lot of fun with ham radio without spending a lot of money. And, you know, there's used equipment. You can buy it on eBay. You can buy it at the Ham Fest. Hams get tired of equipment, and you can swap, and so you can have a whole lot of fun without a lot of money in ham radio. Or if you want to spend your money, there's somebody always there to take it with some new gadget or some new rig or some new antenna. But you don't have to have a lot of money to be a ham. That's one of the misconceptions, I think, that's out there.
And I want to mention we are broadcasting live, and this is radio station WBCQ out of Monticello, Maine. We're on 7415 kilohertz, and I'm sure if you're listening, you already know that, unless you have an analog dial. And, of course, I always loved it when people would give me the exact frequency, because then I would go try to calibrate my radio, you know, get that needle marker on the right spot there. With me is Dr. Michael Barrett, and he is the owner of the TW Antenna Company. We have field day set up here. We've been hearing from folks across the country, and we're going to be hearing from a lot more folks across the country. We're broadcasting today, and we'll be on until 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And then we'll be on tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. And with me on the telephone is... Okay, here we go. James. Hello, James.
Hi, this is Jim Ward, W9DHX.
Yes, sir. And how are you doing today?
Well, I'm standing in the beautiful shade of a tree looking at our communication support unit, which is the headquarters for our field day.
And you are?
We're operating. I'm Jim Ward, W9DHX.
All righty, Jim. I was going to say, you're in Wheaton, Illinois?
Well, actually, we're in Glen Allen, but we're the Wheaton Community Radio Amateur Club.
Okay. Well, tell
our
us.
Call,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Our call is W9CCU. Those are the call letters of our club. And we're operating five stations today. We're doing our own power. You might hear the generator in the background.
Well, I can't hear it right now. You must have your cell phone must have a real close-talking microphone. But
okay,
five,
it's there.
Five stations. You're running. Are you running all generator power, or do you have different kinds of power?
Well, we've got generator power, and we have solar power. We have some solar cells right here by the headquarters station, and then we have a satellite station. We're communicating with satellites, and we're using the more conventional 40 meters and 20 meters to get contacts throughout the United States.
Okay, that sounds really, really good. Well, how many folks do you have on board there with you?
Well, we've got about 50 people wandering around, some youngsters here interested in the hobby. One of them just got on the air, talked to another station, so we get some extra credit for the six-year-old at the microphone.
Oh my goodness! do you think he would talk to us over the radio here?
Well, he's over in the satellite station, looking at the satellite right now. His father is an experienced ham with a call AB9RN. That's what we call an extra class.
There you go. AB9RM. And he's... Now, what's the young fellow's name, the six-year-old that was on the air talking? What is his name?
He's AB9RN's son. I'm walking over to the station as we talk, and we'll see if we can get him to talk to you.
All right. That sounds real good.
Just a second. Get in the headquarters here. You still got me on the signal?
Oh, yeah.
We want that six-year-old out here to talk to the... Here he comes. Here's... What's your name?
Karen.
Karen? Yeah, did you hear the boy talking?
Yeah, is it Colin?
Colin.
Okay.
Good. All right.
Yeah, so Colin is six. He's six. He's got a Spider-Man knapsack on, rigged for outdoor activity. Mm-hmm. His dad's now striding across the field with him, and we've had a big day here in Glen Ellen.
Now, how many field days have you folks put together there with your organization?
Oh, we've been doing them for years. I've been in the club for 20 years, and we have one every year. An annual event to check our skills in putting up portable equipment so we'd be able to react for an emergency. In fact, some of our people were out to the Isle of Floods helping out recently.
Well, very, very good.
Heard about the floods out there in Iowa.
Yeah, and you know, this is where amateur radio has a chance to really, really shine.
Get some information from you.
You bet. We've got shirts here with showing where we've been and different activities. And I'm standing right now by our solar power stuff.
Well, tell me how your solar power is connected and what you're running off of solar power right now.
Okay. We've got two big panels about the size of a 11x14 poster, and they feed into a battery. And then the battery's being charged, which we will use later to do some contacts with other ham stations.
And how many years have you ran the solar power there?
This is our first year with solar power. We got these panels recently just to check it out. And we get extra credit for running the solar power system and for getting 6-year-olds on the air.
There you go.
Pretty great. Well, we're having some visitors here from the nearby fire department. There's a fire department nearby, a firehouse. So they're visiting us today, as have several other people. We're in a public park called Panfish Park. It's a little recreational park here in town.
Well, being that you're in the park, you're probably getting some of the general public by to watch.
Yes, we are.
Folks coming in and taking the kids to the park today, and they're looking around and they're saying, "What is going on? Let me ask you: do you ever get anybody walk up and say, you know, are you contacting Mars or something? Do they ask questions?
Well, yeah, they give us a. I'm over by the generator now. You can hear that generator roaring. We had a woman this morning who wanted to learn all about it, so her father could take up the hobby.
And did you get her some information on it? And
gave her the website so he could get an application.
Well, that sounds real good.
We also get fishermen. There's some fishermen that are walking past with their nets, so we get all kinds of traffic.
Okay, so now you say fishermen. I guess I'll ask: are you near a body of water there?
Yeah, it's a little lake called Panfish Lake.
That's right. You were telling me that. Once again, he was telling me, we've been up all night, and the brain is operating on QRP right now. So,
well, thanks for calling us. We appreciate the publicity.
Well, we appreciate you calling in and reporting in. And be sure and give us a jingle back tonight on the second round. And I'm sure there'll be a whole different group of folks listening, and we'll have different coverage because it's different time of the day. So. Well,
okay, well,
James,
we'll move the number here. We'll call again.
All right, well, we appreciate your participation. Good luck, and have a wonderful field day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I see you got a six-year-old on the air making a contact.
Well, he said that the child's father was extra class, so I would say it won't be long till that young man will be extra class, too.
Now, last year we were set up at field day, and my grandson, he'd have been, three, actually made a contact. He actually talked to a station in Detroit. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there watching the whole thing, and I thought, a three-year-old making a contact, you know. But you get them involved in ham radio when they're young, and you won't have to worry about them, you know. I guess I need to...
Are you giving a number out over the air, or...
I haven't given the number out yet, oddly enough. I've been sitting here all this while, and we've been having, and I haven't got my information sheet up in front of me. You know the number here. Give it out for me. You can help me out on this one.
Yeah, I don't know the country code and all that, Ted, but the area code's 931-528-0133.
That's the phone number to call. It's posted on the websites, the... American Radio Relay League has it up on their site. We've got it up on the QSO site, which is the TedRandall.com site, and I'm sure it's in a number of different places. Bill Pasternak has got the stuff up on his column and all that, and so the number's out there. But if you're listening and you're a ham club and you want to call in and report your activities, by all means do so, 931-528-0133.
Have you or can you pitch... Bob Howell's products, he's co-sponsoring the thing, if you mentioned that.
I mentioned that he is a co-sponsor, and I mentioned that the Howell products, and right now you're talking into this microphone called the Finn.
I am. It's pretty nice. It looks like something out of the 50s. It's got blue neon lights in it, and I don't know, it looks like a 57 Chevrolet, I think, Ted, but I like it. Makes me feel important.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at that microphone earlier, and with it lit up like that, you could say it reminds you of a 57 Chevy, but you almost expect that thing to smile at you.
Right.
You know?
And you missed the obvious, Ted. I have on a Howell Sound baseball cap, too.
No, I didn't miss that. I just, you know, like I said, my brain is at QRP level right now. We're, you know... I'm the batteries are almost dead too. We're broadcasting live Field Day 2008, and we're at the command center for the TW Antenna Company once again. And as Dr. Barrett's mentioned, this broadcast is brought to you also by Heil Sound. And you know, Bob Heil is an amazing person. I mean, every time I talk to him, he's out on the road going somewhere. He was out with Ringo Starr doing sound out there. Then I talked to him again. He says, I'm leaving out. I have to go do something with Sheryl Crow. And I know he's coming to Nashville to meet with Ronnie Millsap. So he's
if you talk to him, ask him, can I go with him and meet Sheryl Crow?
Okay. I'll be sure. And he may be listening right now.
Tell him I'll give him a TW antenna.
Wow. Did we intend on covering all of this on field day, this kind of thing? Were we going to go down this kind of road here? Anyways, we're having fun. That's the most important thing, and I hope you're having fun where you're at right now. Field day 2008. I'm going to have to locate. I've got to locate this email I got last night from a guy. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and he emailed me, and I thought we were the only ones up at that hour. And he was talking about everything they were doing, and that was another amazing thing. I'll have to locate that so we can read that on the air. And the station out here right now that's operating, you've got how many of the 2010s that are operating right now?
We have 2 2010s, a backpacker, and we have a 20-meter monobander that we're working off of, a single band one. We were going to shake down the 80-20, but we just decided to wait till tonight to do that, so we don't have any 80-20s on the air. It's all 2 2010s, backpacker, and a monoband 20.
Now, you know, I'll tell you, we'll be hearing a little later from the Lebanon Tennessee Club. They're launching a balloon with a repeater on it, and that's going to be real interesting to follow that situation. They'll be calling, and I've talked to them a little bit, and they were telling me what they're doing. So that's the club in Lebanon, Tennessee, and they're not too far away from us here, so we will be hearing from them. The 8020 is the antenna that will operate 80 through 20 meters. The 2010 operates, obviously, 20 through 10. But how soon do you think the 8020 will be up and about in production? Because I know y'all are still tweaking and working. And
yeah, we've got two, and it's a race to see which one comes out first, Ted. We have a 8020 backpacker version, which is doesn't have the automatic band switch, and it has the manual band switch, and it's a small compromise structure. It's similar to the 2010 in size. It will have less bandwidth, but shoot, if you're out in the woods in an emergency situation, 60 kilohertz on 40 meters better than the full band with the structure is large. So we've got the 8020 backpacker should be out, I would say, within the next few weeks. And then we have the regular 8020, which is a larger structure, and it's ready to go. But we know that a lot of folks on 75, 80 meters like to run QRO. And so it'll handle about 1,200 watts PEP right now, but we're trying to get it up to a legal limit. And then if somebody makes a mistake and runs just a little over legal limit, it would handle that too. So we've got every band handled but to 80 on full legal limit, and that's what's holding us up. We're having to change the coil size, but I'd say 30 days would catch both of them, Ted.
That's exciting. I'm wanting to see one of these things operate. With us right now, we have from Jefferson, Ohio, we've got K8WFL. Is this Tim?
Yes, can you hear us? Okay? On speakerphone, everybody's listening in.
Okay. Am I speaking to Tim?
You are. This is K8WFL.
Okay, very good. And you are in Jefferson, Ohio.
That is correct. Ashtabula County, northeast part of the state of Ohio.
Well, tell us a little bit about your field day setup there and what's going on.
Well, we're running a 3-alpha station. We got a 6-meter. We got a 2-meter sideband set up and a get-on-the-air station. We got a KT-34 up on a trailer tower, 40-meter rigid dipole, A3 tri-band. We got all kinds of stuff in the air. Everybody's eating right now. We got all the stations up and running, and conditions are good. We're just kind of worried about the weather because we've been getting rain and lightning and stuff the last couple of days, and that's what they're calling for.
Well, you just have to run for cover and get right back out there when it's over with, you know. Well, okay, now let me ask you this question. What is your power situation there? Are you running any solar or anything like that?
We ran a QRP station 817 with a solar panel hooked to a camera tripod with a Hustler resonator hooked on it on 40 meters and made the 5 contacts with 100 watts, and everything else as off generators.
Well, very, very, very good. Well, share with me some of the names of the folks that are with you there and their call signs.
Okay, well, next to me is Mark, WGAY. He's the club president. And I got Dick Madison, the secretary treasurer, KC8FNJ. My dad's here, Bill, N3LWM. My 9-year-old daughter's here, KB8ILG. We got members from 9 to 90 here today.
My goodness. Well, now, is your daughter operating today?
She is. She's, I believe, on 10 meters. 10-meter phone right now.
Okay. Well, when you get a chance, maybe you might want to have her call us back at some point in time. We'll put her on the air, talk to her, and and find out how what her interests are in ham radio. Now, what? Once again, the bands that you're on right now. What bands are you operating currently? And what is the club call sign?
The club call is Kilo 8 Charlie Yankee, and the get on the air station is Kilo Delta 8 India Lima Golf, and we're running 10 phone, 15 phone, 20 phone, 40 CW, and 2 and 6 meters sideband.
Well, very good. Sounds like you guys got the whole gamut. Doing the whole thing. So now tell me a little bit about your club and the community that you're in, and maybe some of the activities that you guys are engaged in.
I'll tell you what, can I pass it over to the club president, WG8Y Mark?
Absolutely.
Here he is, thanks.
Hey, how you doing? This is Mark, WG8Y.
Mark, I'm doing real good today, and I want to say happy field day. And tell us about your organization there.
Okay, our club is, we're not a very big club. We've got about 35 members continually. And as you heard, our youngest oldest is 9 to 90, and they were both here in attendance today. And the 90-year-old is just as witty as any of the rest of us. He's a great old guy. K88RAM is his call. He's been a ham for many years. We love to hear his stories. Jefferson, Ohio is a very small community. We have 3 stoplights one direction and 3 stoplights the other direction. So you don't want to blink or you'll miss us. Laid-back community, and the nearest Walmart, which is everybody's necessity, is about 10 to 15 miles away. So we're too small for one of those. A very good laid-back club. Everybody's a friendly type club. And we try to, we have everything from QRP to Riddy, PSK, and we have one fella that's in the slow scan, so we're very diverse.
Well, you know, if you're that far away from a Walmart, y'all could be busy providing emergency communications from the community to Walmart, couldn't you, almost? we can't live, I can't live without a Walmart in the area. That's one of the things we have to have. That's a requirement. We have to have a Walmart. Well, now, okay, now, as you're set up, You said you did run some solar power, and how many field day operations has your organization been through at this point?
Well, I've been involved in a club since 1980, and we have not missed a field day as far as the organization since then, and I believe it was about 75 or 76 for certain, and I know that we've had continual field day activity from our club.
Very, very cool. You know, I was gonna ask one thing I haven't asked anybody. What do y'all do for field day food? You know, I mean, you know, you can't go to a ham fest without having a ham fest hot dog. So, and Alan Pitts told me that field day, this is where hams get to go beyond the level of the ham fest hot dog. So tell us a little bit about your festivities there.
Well, we do have some homemade pies bought in, but that's pretty traditional. We used to have field day chili made by one of our members that passed away that we talk about continually. The guy's call was Kilowatt 8 KC8 QS, old Steve. He used to make this chili. It really, it was a very tasty chili, but there was no problem staying up half the night if you ate some of his chili. But we're having pretty traditional this year. We're just having hamburgers and hot dogs. They're over there cooking right now. I see a big old plate of potato salad and about every kind of chip you could want. And I don't know if you're familiar with what they used to call an 807, but might be called an MGD in these days. But back in my time, they were called 807s. That was the right way to say it on the air. So,
yeah, I guess now thinking about that, thinking what you're referring to when you say an 807, I wonder what that would make an 833. Anyhow, we won't go any further down that road. We want to thank you, though, for calling us and for being part of this. Is there anyone else there that you want to put on the air that has anything to add or say about your field day operation?
No, I believe not. But we are very involved in the emergency management system here locally also. And we usually have their trailer on site, which we also have got equipment manned in there. So that'd be the only other thing that we really try to keep up with the local area so that we are on call when there is an emergency, too. So we even cover that facet of it. Especially when after the last episode we had a few years ago, we've stepped up our part of that. So that's pretty much it from Northeast Ohio. I really appreciate you having us on.
Okay, I'll ask you just one more question, though, and before I let you go. And this is for other clubs around the country and for folks that are wanting to get involved doing emergency work. How do you folks interface with your local officials? I mean, what is the key to your success, and how do you find it the best way to be of service and to keep lines of communication open with these folks?
Well, we've always had a line, so it's hardly say how it was. We've just been able to work with them very well. We actually have a station at the emergency management system downstairs, and we basically have a chain of command on calls if there is people needed, and we know who is available to be called in case they need us for some kind of an emergency. We do have a nuclear plant within the area, so we have training on that also. So we're involved with them quite often. We'll actually go to a couple meetings a year and have people in so that we can keep up on it. So we're pretty much on a first name basis. And I think it's essential everybody, do that part of it. It doesn't take that much effort by the club to at least get involved a little bit. You don't get called that often, but it's nice to know that, people in the community can be counted on.
And do you get called on an awful lot? I mean, do you do a lot of emergency service work for these folks that in any particular time, or does it stay pretty quiet where you are?
Actually, it's pretty quiet. We do some drills, like I said, for the Perry plant, the nuclear thing. But there's that's just all practice runs. You know, ham radios know how to do this particular item, as far as communicating. So it's all just kind of getting the rhetoric on what the proper procedure they like to see down in Pat. So it's not much of a drill for us. Not much for emergencies in Northeast Ohio, and we hope it stays that way.
Well, there you go. Well, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you for calling, and thank you for participating in Field Day and being a fine part of the organization that the ARRL is so much in the middle of and responsible for, and that is the Field Day exercise itself. And we appreciate having folks like you around. And thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And if you're up and about tonight, call us because we're on the second broadcast. Join us. Be sure and call back again. We'll have a whole different – I tell folks I would basically probably an entirely different audience because that's just the way shortwave is. Well, thank you so much. And we've got –
Well, Ted, I was noticing on the ARRL webpage they have the surveys. I don't know if you ever take them or not, but I try to take them. They poll you on everything. And the numbers that I saw, I think it was a couple of thousand people had responded. Most people were working field day either at home by themselves or with a club. I think the number's like 40-something percent of the people working field day that at least responded to the survey were with the club. And I think the number was about 8% that were just a few guys getting together where they didn't have a club. I was in Orlando earlier this week and working three guys on, of all things, 2-meter Simplex FM. And they were going out in the park, the three of them, and they were taking three radios, and they were going to set up and have a picnic and work 15, 20, and 40 meters on their own. So I was wondering if you'd gotten any calls from any groups that were not clubs, but they were set up and they were just enjoying field day in a place where maybe they didn't have a club nearby.
I haven't yet, but that isn't to say that that isn't going to happen, because that is something that's pretty common. You have folks that live out in areas where there is not a club or an organization, and they just get together. As a matter of fact, we did that last year. We just pitched a tent, hooked up a generator, and it was just a family, and we got on the air and we just had fun, And a lot of it was because we, in the business that we work in, everything is so up in the air all the time, and it's hard to make plans, So your local groups usually will plan out what they're going to do. So unless you just want to go visit, it's difficult to fit in. And of course, my two sons, they're pretty hands-on. They want to pull antennas up in trees and do all that kind of thing. So We just decided, hey, we're just going to do this. We're just going to be part of it. So I'm sure that goes on all over the country. You know, it really does. And folks probably have a big time doing that.
I know here in Cookeville, where we're at, we usually have.